while I'm preaching it, would be this thought. Who told you that you're right? Who confirmed to your heart that you're just? Or who did you seek to tell you that you was just? And so I want to preach on that this morning for a few moments. Our Lord is preaching here. He's touched a sore spot in verse number 13. We'll put in verse number 10. And he begins to deal with the hearts of people. And he stirred up some opposition. And he's made some folks mad at him. A good preacher will make either folks mad or glad. John Wesley used to ask his preacher boys when they'd go out preaching, they'd come back. He'd say, "Well, did you make anybody mad? Or did anybody get right?" And so our Lord often offended the Pharisees. In fact, his disciples, they were shocked at it. They said, "Do you realize the Pharisees are offended at you?" I guess there were some people that in that day that were tolerant of others. Let's look in this thing just for a few moments this morning. I hope you'll listen. I hope you come to church to listen. Last thing you need to do is just look around, talk, and not pay attention. Listen, let me tell you what I tell the kids. Would you listen to me just 2 minutes before I preach? Let me tell you what I tell the children, the young people in chapel. What I'm doing here, what I'm going to do, what I'm proceeding to do, is do something that is given by God. This is God ordained. This is God's will. That the word be preached. Now, your responsibility towards that, that God is going to hold you accountable, is to listen. Pay attention. Take heed how you hear. Listen with strict attention to what is being said. Not because of my personage, but because of the work that I'm doing. Now, listen to me carefully. When you fail to listen, you insult the Holy Ghost of God. Now, I've seen people, I'll get up to preach, and I've seen people walk out. Like they're going to insult me. You insult the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost of God has got a message for you from His Word. So you're not insulting this preacher. You're insulting God Almighty. And so I tell the kids, I want you to look at me, don't take your eyes off me, because of what I'm doing and what is being presented to you is the Word of God. And so you need to really pay close attention. God just may have a word just for you. He may visit you. The little verse in Acts that troubles so many of the people that try to press their Calvinist doctrine, "But as many as were ordained," that never bothered me. That never bothered me. I know that there's people in here that God will speak to this morning. Now, let me give you a rough thought. There's some of you He'll walk right on past simply because you don't listen. He'll skip your pew. He won't even talk to you this morning simply because you don't listen to the Bible being preached. Now, I don't know why I'm giving this little lesson, but I hope you'll pay close attention. Not because I'm eloquent, not because of me, but because of what I'm doing. I'm preaching the Word of God, and so you need to listen. Beginning to verse number 10, he said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. I thought, let me just give you, I'm going to run a dozen rabbit trails. You don't mind if I do that, do you? I'm just going to run a dozen rabbit trails. I don't know how long before Jesus comes. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the hour day. I don't know how much longer I'll live. I do know if Jesus tarries, you're going to have the problem. I'm just going to throw it at you. It's on my mind. You're going to have the problem of selecting another pastor. Let me tell you, I'll just give you a little hint right here. If you select a man that's not faithful in his finances, of his own personal finances, you better put a guard around the church finances. I just give you that as an example. You best check a man's, if he's going to be your pastor, you better know that he's faithful to pay his own bills and be a good steward of what God gives him and not a waster or a squander or not somebody that just has to run first class regardless of how indebted he puts the church. Somebody say amen. Okay, let me go on. I'll get away from that rabbit trail. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you trust and true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? I mean, let the word of God speak to you. All right. Verse number 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot, impossibility, you cannot serve God and the almighty dollar, or mammon, as the Bible says here. You can't do that. You can't serve riches in God. You can't serve the things of this world in God. You cannot do that. And then he proceeds to deal with the Pharisees as he stirred them up. The Pharisees also were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men. But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, would you help me this morning? I read my subject matter. Lord, is important this morning as it is your word that I'm trying to, Lord, to give the understanding thereof. And I pray, Lord, you'd use me. I pray, Lord, give me wisdom, deliver me from the face of man. Fill me with your spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Jesus begins preaching. And here, and he's struck, you might say, we have a statement, he's struck a nerve. He's hit a sore spot. He's hit a tender spot. In fact, he's exposed the sin of these Pharisees. He's pulled the blanket off of them. He's pulled the cover off of them. They had everybody impressed and thought everybody believed and knew that everybody about believed that they were real spiritual. And Jesus begins to deal with them. He uncovers them. He uncovers their hypocrisy. He uncovers their sin. And so they, the next thing they do is they react on this. They begin to deride him. That is, they begin to sneer and make faces at him, and they begin to mock because he's got their sin. He's got their finger on, no doubt, I don't know, the Lord might have had a long finger pointing down at him, you know, and you're covetous, and dealing with their heart, and just dealing with the sin in their life and exposing the truth about these people. Now, they were sure that they were presenting a good religious case, that they were spiritual people, and everybody, they wanted to impress other men, and so they thought they were pretty safe in that, and everybody believed that they were truly righteous and spiritual people. But our Lord uncovered them. He exposed them. He began to just reveal what sort of people they really were. And so they began to deride on him. They began to sneer and make faces. I was saying last night in the prayer meeting, I've had this happen to me. I've had folks make faces at me while I was preaching, and I've had folks actually cuss me while I was preaching. I had a number of folks in a funeral one time cussing me while I was preaching, openly cussing me while I was preaching. And if you're a preacher and you realize these things are going to come to pass, you just keep going. But at our Lord, I noticed here that he didn't even, the word deride means to, as I said, sneer or mock. So no doubt they said some things back to him. But I guess the Lord just didn't think what they said was worth repeating, so he didn't put it in the Bible. And you might take that to note. He didn't give place to the devil or allow him to have any part of the Word of God. He just let their words drop. And he went on to keep on preaching. I'm saying I love that he wasn't one to be irritated or get sore or deride back on them or come back at them. He just kept on preaching and exposing them. I'm saying that he showed no loss of emotions or fear of their face. A lot of times people figure they can stop you and control you by their facial expressions. They figure they're able to just stare you down or give you a mocking look or a sneering look or some kind of an expression. They'll just kind of intimidate you and cause you to lose your thought or cause you to give up on that particular subject. Last night at the prayer meeting, I dealt with Ezekiel, and God told Ezekiel that not to fear the face of men. I guess it's just something that no doubt every preacher has to deal with it. Every preacher has to face. If you ever stand up here, it's one of the things that I've often thought, how do singers sing? They do their best. They try to sing, and they're wanting to see that the people are enjoying the song or the music. And you ever see the faces of people? You know, expression of people. You'd be surprised when they're not thinking, they're not looking in the mirror. You'd be surprised the facial expressions people make. Like I said last night, I'll put a big mirror up here and let you see yourself sometimes. You'd be shocked. You change. I told you before, Abraham Lincoln said every man is accountable for his face. You know, your expressions, you're accountable for that. That says a lot. But anyway, these facial expressions, they didn't hinder the Lord. He just dealt with them. And then he begins to bust their ego button. One of the last things people want to hear is to have somebody really expose them and pop their ego and deal with their motives, deal with what truly is the driving force within them. And so he begins to deal with that. He says, and he shows them how that he says, you're the type of people, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. You're the type of people that just seek to get men's approval. Now, there's two groups in this world. You're either one or the other. You're either in the group that the song we just sang, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. And so there's people in this world that believe the Bible is true, disregarding their own opinions, their own thoughts, their own views, their own values, and just take the Bible as it is. God, let God be true and every man a liar. And they submit to it, they accept it. What God says about them is right. They just believe that. The Church of Thessalonica, one of the things that God upbraids them about and honors them about is they receive the Bible as it is, the Word of God. They accepted it as truth. And they received it that way. They didn't question it. They didn't doubt it. They didn't sift it through their opinions and their thoughts. But they received it as it is, the Word of God. Now, there's people that do that. They submit to it. They accept it that God is true. What God said about me is right. Whatever God tells me, that's what I need to do. God is true. God is right. I believe God's right. And they submit to it. They surrender it. Then there's the other crowd. There's the crowd that makes up their own rules as they go along. They dream up their own laws. They justify themselves and their own values and their own reasoning in their own lives. They seek approval and justification in this life by their own reasoning. And they seek to be justified in the sight of man. And so it is that we're either in one camp or the other, or in one class, or in one group, or one type or the other. We're either humbly submitting ourselves to the will of God, to the Word of God, accepting what God says about us, or we're a type of person that just sets out to prove that we're right and our reason is right and we can justify ourselves for what we are and who we are and why we live like we live and why we do what we do. We seek to prove we're right. And we seek approval of others, and we seek to justify and clarify and justify ourselves and make ourselves look good in the sight of our fellow man. One of the two, they're either God is the one that we are seeking to please and to get His approval of our life, or we're seeking to get the nod, the approval, the pat on the back, the recognition from our fellow man. I'm saying to you that it's one way or the other. We're either seeking to be just in the sight of God or the sight of man. Now, Jesus draws a straight line here. He deals with these people and shows that they're men pleasers. They're people that's out to seek and to draw attention to themselves and to seek approval of man. They're seeking to be just in the sight of man. They're seeking man's pleasures, and they're seeking man's approval, and they're seeking to be justified that where people think well of them. People think they're right. People think they're good. People think they're holy. People think they're real religious. He makes it clear that you can't do both. You can't please when he gave that verse that he said you can't have two masters. He made it clear you can't please both. You can't serve God. You can't please God and man. You're going to have to make the choice. Either you're going to seek approval of God, you're going to seek God's recognition, you're going to be seeked by just by God, or you're going to seek to be justified by man. It's one of the two. One of the two is going to be your master. It's going to be either. Please listen to me just for a few minutes. Either your master is going to be God and Him justifying you, or the controlling force. Now, the master is the one that rules, reigns, exercises authority over you. You're under His dominion. You're under His rule and reign. He's the force that controls you, captivates your mind. Either God Almighty, His Word, is going to be the master that you serve and seek approval of, seek to be just in His eyes, or your master, the controlling force in your life, that which dominates your life and your opinion, your thoughts, is going to be the opinion of man, or the view that man has of you, or the thoughts or the approval of man. You're either going to seek one or the other. I was preparing this message. I think it's good just to bare your heart. I was preparing this message, and the Holy Ghost convicted me of the very thing I'm preaching. I was seeking for words. I was seeking for statements. I was looking for thoughts to possibly convey this truth. And all the time, I was thinking whether the people would receive this or how they, whether it would come across to them or whether they would understand. And my mind was centered basically on what man thought of my message. And I didn't even realize, here I'm preparing a message, and I wondered whether people are going to receive it, whether they're going to believe it, whether they're going to accept it, whether I'm going to get it across the man. And I began to pray over the message and study it more. And God said, you're guilty of doing what you're preaching. You're seeking the approval, the justification of man of the very message you're preaching on. You're seeking man's approval to see if they'll agree, they'll nod their head, seeing if they'll accept what you have to say. And all the time, it's ignoring me and not seeking to please me only and seeking my approval and seeking my face. Could I say to you in your life, you're seeking one face or the other. You're either seeking the face of God, the smile, the approving smile and countenance of God. My face, He told you, you're His face you're supposed to seek. Thy face I seek. Or you're seeking the face of man. You look to see if man approves, recognizes, and gives you the approval, the nod of recognition, the agreement to your life that you're what you say you really are. I'm saying to you that we're the Pharisees, no doubt, were people that in their day, no doubt, they worked hard at it. They disciplined themselves. They were rigorous in their efforts to seek this approval of men. They'd wear colorful garments. They'd walk down the streets and wait till there was a crowd around, or the people were gathered in the marketplace or on the street corner of a busy street corner, and there they'd stand. Why, they'd cover their eyes. They wouldn't so much as look at a woman. And then they'd make long prayers right on the street corner or in the marketplace. They were very disciplined in this effort to try to seek the approval of man. They wanted man to say, yeah, no doubt they're spiritual people. They're godly people. Would you listen to me carefully? Do you know? Would you think of this for a moment? Do you know that probably most people of that day thought the Pharisees were super spiritual and Christ was an imposter? Most people would look at the Pharisees and say, they're the religious crowd. They're the godly crowd. They're the people that loves God. They're the people that's true. And the Pharisees worked hard for that. They'd come past land and sea to make one person a member of their group or apostolate one. And Christ said they'd make them twice, twofold child of hell. But they'd do their best. They'd work hard at it. And people really thought, no doubt, that these people were spiritual. Thought they were God. They were seeking the approval of man. They lived and worked and labored and sacrificed and disciplined themselves. They did everything they possibly could to get the favor of man, to get the approval of man, to make sure that man agreed with them. Saying to you, we often say it lightly. We talk about it jokingly. In a way, in a light manner, that people come to church and just to show. We will say that kind of in a light manner. We won't be strong with it. We won't personally go around and condemn one another. But we'll say that some folks just come to show their new rings or their jewelry or hairdo or their new apparel or their fancy car or whatever it might be. Some people just come to show. And we say that. You've said that. You've heard people say that. Some people just go to church just to show. Can I say to you that the Bible makes it clear that our conversation, the way we live, how we conduct our life, the motives of our life, proves who we're trying to impress. Who it is, whose approval that we're seeking. Whose justification. Why do we do what we do? Why do we live the way we live? Why do we conduct our life? What is the motivation? What is the driving force? What is the ruling force and law within our hearts and minds? Who are we seeking to be just in the sight of? The Pharisees here sought to be justified in the sight of man. We tend to play mind games with ourselves many times. And we seek to get approval of other people. We feel good if other people recognize us as a Christian. If some preacher
says, how do you do, brother or sister?
They know. They recognize. They see that I'm a Christian. I hope you listen to me carefully. I'm trying to go slow with this. That's all some people need to content and quiet their soul. That's good enough. That satisfies them. That quiets their conscience. Look, listen to me carefully. That sears their conscience. Just as long as they can find somebody, somebody they esteem, somebody that they desire approval of, somebody they think is spiritual or religious or whatever it might be, for that person to recognize them as being holy or being just, being real, being true. That's all some people want. That satisfies them. That drives away. That says to them, I don't care what anybody else says. Are you listening? In their mind, they say, I don't care what the Holy Spirit of God says. I don't care what the Bible says. I've got people that know that I'm a Christian. I've got people that approve of my life. I've got people that I think is well knowledgeable and understanding of spiritual things. And they agree with me. And they think I'm saved. And they believe I'm all right. And they believe I'm good. And they believe I'm going to heaven. It don't matter what you think. It don't matter what the Bible says. And so they sear their conscience. They quiet their soul. They drive away the Holy Ghost of God. I'm just. Don't you realize there's people in this world that's spiritual and they believe I'm right? I don't care what you say. I've had people literally tell me this. I don't care what you think about me. I had one woman say to my face, I'm just going to see how far this goes. She says, I don't care if I don't have chastisement in my life. I know I'm saved. Total contrary to the Bible. Total contrary to the Bible. But she had somebody tell her, some super soul winner, some preacher told her, did you believe this? Did you say this? You're saved. To her, she was justified in the sight of some man. I don't care if it was through some ritual. I don't care if it was through some experience. I don't care if it was through some kind of a religion or denomination, whatever it might be, to somebody bearing witness to her. She was satisfied. She was content. You couldn't touch her. You couldn't preach to her about her soul. She was justified in the sight of man, and she was satisfied. She had the approval of man, and that's all they want. That's all they need. Just as long as they know something. Do you know it's not hard? Do you know it's not hard for you to find somebody that will approve of you? Don't prize yourself. Don't pat yourself on the back and say, "Whoa, I found some people that will approve of us." It could be they're living a little bit more wicked than you are, and you're a little bit, of course they're going to approve of you. Or it could be they're trying to get something out of you, and maybe they're seeking approval of you. It's not hard to find somebody that approves your life. That's not hard. I'm saying these people sought the approval of man. They wanted that. That's all. They didn't have, listen to me, they had no regard for God. They didn't care what God thought about them. They wasn't interested in God. They didn't care what the Word of God says. Jesus had preached to them straight. He had dealt with them. He was firm with them. He was right. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He was preaching truth. You can't live the way you're living and be right with God. You can't be covetous and be a person of God. You can't be following God and have two masters. You can't do that. Who are you to tell me that I'm lost? Who are you to tell me that I'm living that way and I'm deceived in my mind? And all I'm seeking is approval of man. Here's the precious, perfect Son of God. preaching no error, no heresy, no fault in him, no flaw in his life, no imperfection in him whatsoever as far as his mannerism, his disposition, his attitude. I don't care what you want to call it. No error whatsoever in his speech. Everything was perfect. And yet these Pharisees would look at him. You're the one that's wrong. We're right. We've got to look at the people around us. They agree we're right. Who are you to tell me I'm wrong when I've got a whole church full of people that believe I'm right? I've got a whole family. I've got a husband or wife. I've got a mom or dad that says I'm right. Who are you to tell me I'm wrong? Who are you to say? Who are you, Holy Ghost, to tell me that that applies to me today? That I'm not right, that I'm not saved? Who are you? Be gone! I guess one of the most destructive, soul-damning things that a person can do is look to the right or the left for approval. See, this is the straight and the narrow way. And you're not to look to the right or the left. You're not to look and to see what others are doing and seeing if you agree with them or you match up with them. The person that compares themselves with another person, the Bible says, is not wise. They're not a sensible person. You don't know their heart. Everybody in that day thought these Pharisees were super spiritual simply because of their apparel and their mannerism and their attitude. They figured they were super spiritual. And Jesus says, they're hypocrites. They're not true people. All they're seeking is approval of man. I'm saying it's a dangerous thing. The game to play is you looking to the right or the left and see, well, I'm just like they are. Look at me carefully. What if they're wrong, too? I'm just as good as that person. You know, most persons gauge their Christianity and their level of Christianity by what they see other people do. Do you try to excel everybody else? Do you gauge your Christianity just by the way you see other people live and how much they give of the effort to serve God and walk with God? Is that how you determine your level? Then you're just seeking approval of men. That's all you're doing, just seeking approval of men. I'm saying you ought to do in your life. Jesus says in the next part of that verse, after he spoke about how that all they're doing is seeking the approval of men, Here's the real clincher. This is the one where he gets them. He says, I know. He's letting them know. He says, all you're doing is just seeking for the nod of man, the pat on the back, the acceptance, the handshake, the testimony, the agreement. That's all you're seeking for. But he said, I want you to know something. Boy, he puts the plow down a little bit deeper. Now he's beginning to plow deep in there. He said, but God knows your heart. God knows really what drives you. God knows where your affections are. God knows where your heart is. God knows whether that heart is pure and clean, driving those motives, or whether it's filled with deception, filled with self-conceit and self-love and self-exaltation and just trying to get approval of yourself. God knows your heart regardless of what you're doing. No matter how many men approve of you, God knows your heart. And I say to you, one of the greatest truths that you can get in your life is to understand that men's approval is not enough. That ain't enough. Don't be content with that. Don't be content with somebody calling you brother, sister, or you did what they told you to do, and you're all right, and you went, you followed the ABCs, and you said the right words in your sinner's prayer, and you did all that you're supposed to do. That's not good enough. It's not hard to get approval, man. You can go to some churches, walk in, and say, well, I believe the Bible, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe He died on the cross for my sins, and they say, well, let's just baptize you and make you Christian. They'll shake your hand. The church will hug you. and they'll put your name on the church roll. You'll be accepted in the beloved, and you'll go to hell. Jesus said, God knows your heart. God knows who you're trying to please. God knows who you're serving. God knows who has the control of your very desires, your affections, your interests, those you're seeking to prove. God knows who it is. You don't fool anybody. You don't fool God with all kinds of religious, pious ways. That don't impress God. He says the very things that you're impressed with, that men are impressed with, I want you to know the truth. They're abomination. They're detestable in the sight of God. All the put on, all the phony, all the facade, all the acting, all the hypocrisy that men exalt and say, oh, aren't they spiritual? God said it's sickening. God knows your heart. God knows whether you're real. God knows whether you're really loving. God knows when the going gets rough and the pressure gets on, whether you'll stay with God or you'll follow the crowd. I've often wondered, I've toyed with this thought. Don't get mad at me, but I've toyed with this thought. I've often wondered how many men would stay in church and stay with God and walk with God if their wives just give them a literal fit and say, I'm not going to that church. I don't care what you do. I'll not be a wife to you as long as you go to that church. I was wondering how many men would stay in church, serve God. I hate to say it, but I've seen scores of women. There's one sitting right here, Mrs. Sanders. Testimony. Her husband told her not to come to this church. And she stood up and said, I'm going to that church. That's my church. What a testimony. What a testimony. What a test. And it wasn't long. She wasn't long in her faith. She wasn't many weeks into her faith and her trust in Christ that she was put to that test. Let's see who's going to be the controlling force of your life. Are you going to seek to please your husband or seek to please God? What a test. I wonder how many of us would pass it. Put Christ first, foremost in our life, regardless of what others do. I wonder how many children would stay with God and walk with God if their mom and dad just turned their back on the church and turned their back on Christ and went out in the world. I wonder how many children would say, oh, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to love God. I ain't going to follow mom and dad out into sin. God knows your heart. God knows all this stuff, all this put on rituals and airs and all the things that men do to try to impress that they're super spiritual and they're super religious. It's an abomination. Can I say, do you know what God's looking for? Do you really know what God's looking for when you come in here? Do you know what God's looking for in you? Do you think He's impressed if we show Him our level of success? Do you think He's impressed if we walk in here and we have very high opinions of ourselves or we're very knowledgeable on certain things? Do you think that impresses God? Do you think there's anything that you could come in with or wear or think or do that would impress God Almighty? What do you think God's looking for when you come through that door? He's looking at you, seeing if you really want Him. That if you want His presence, you are truly seeking His face. You're seeking His Word. You're hungry for His truth. You're surrendered and yielded and submitted to His will. The driving force within you that reigns within your heart, that masters over you, that controls you, is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just constrains you. It controls you. It motivates your life. You live. You literally live. For me to live is Christ. You come to church for Christ. You don't come for the preacher. You don't come for any other reason. You come for Christ. You dress for Christ. You abstain from all appearance of evil for Christ. Not to put on a show. Not to be able to tell others. Not to condemn others. To do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. For me to live. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. I'm saying to you that we're living in a generation that seeks just the acceptance and approval and the nod. Have you ever asked Him? Look at me, Uncle. Have you ever asked Him, am I just in your sight? I know what other people think of me. Other people think I'm spiritual. Other people think that I'm religious. Other people think I'm holy. Other people know that I've done this and this, and I'm baptized, and I'm a member. I'm not asking that. Have you ever asked Him, am I just in your sight? I don't care what man says. I don't care what men say. Men can say anything. John Hopkins come to the great Jonathan Edwards. And he said, Mr. Edwards. He said, I went forward in your revival when you was in Yale. And I went forward and he said, I believe that I've accepted Christ. And Mr. Edwards says, what have you been doing in the meantime? He says, well, I've been preaching the gospel and I've been serving God at my best. He said, Mr. Edwards, would you tell me, am I truly converted? Am I a Christian? This man was broken. He was serious. He was sober. He was really concerned about his soul. Mr. Edwards looked at him. He says, son, he said, it appears that you've made a turn towards God. But as far as confirming your soul, he said, only the Holy Ghost of God can do that. He said, I can't do that. I can't do that. You ever ask Him? You ever get alone? Say, would you please bear witness to my heart that I'm a son of God, that I'm a child of God? I'm putting aside all this phony put on, play acting, play in church, trying to see if men will say, you know, you're a good guy and I believe you're right and they promote you, make you something in the church. That ain't good enough. That ain't good enough. That isn't good enough. I need approval from God. I need God to say to my heart, His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit. His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit. Not my baptism. Not my profession of faith. Not my profession of faith. I don't go according to my profession of faith. That's not good enough for me. That's what man told me to do. Man told me how to profess faith. That ain't good enough for me. That's not good enough for me. No, no, no. I got to hear from heaven. I want to seek His face. I want Him personally to tell me in my spirit, you're just. I see you as forgiven. I see you as one of my child. That's the only thing I'll be satisfied with. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I don't care how much you love me and I want to be loved. But I must have the Word of God bear witness to my heart. The Spirit of God speak to me and confirm my soul. I've got to hear from heaven. He said, you're such to seek to be justified in the sight of Him. That's all you're after. That's all you're after. That's your whole religion. It's your whole sum. I'm going to sum up your whole religious scenario, the whole pious act you put on, all that religion that you put on. I'm going to sum it up to one thing. It's just to get the nod of man, for man to say, yeah, they're religious. You ever hear it in the workplace? You believe in God? Oh, yeah, I go to church. Good man. Yeah.
You believe the Word of God? Yeah, I believe what the Bible says. Amen. It's amazing. We've had people call us this week. This week. Tragic week. And trying to seek approval from man on whether a person is saved or not. Can't do that. Don't call. I can't do that. That's not my position. I have no authority over that. I can say people appear to. And everything and all that they do, it looks like they're trying to serve God and love God. But can I say to you, the only justification for your life that you should ever see is the sight of God. Never stop for that. Never stop seeking Him, looking to Him until you get that spirit. Confirms that to your heart and your soul. You're one of His. You belong. You're accepted. You're a child of the King. God knows your heart. Shall we stand? Who told you? Who told you He was right? Who told you? Who told you? Who told you that your sins were blotted out? Who told you that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Who told you? Does He walk with you and talk with you and tell you that you're His own? Do you sense the peace of God? My peace I give unto them. Do you sense that peace of God that passes understanding? Just a deep, settled peace comes over your soul. That's why the songwriter said, I remember when the burdens rolled away. That peace come flooded in his soul. That wonderful peace. That just quieted every doubt in his mind and every fear in his mind. Confirmed to him, it's all right. You're mine. You're forgiven. That ought to be more than empty words to you. That ought to be more than just some plan or ritual or experience. That ought to be so precious to you that the Holy Ghost of God breathes to your soul, forgiven. Just. I have no charges against you. Not guilty. Does He say that to your soul this morning? Not guilty. Forgiven. Father, in Jesus' name, help us. Help us to receive this precious truth that you preached so long ago. Are we guilty, many of us? Are we guilty?
of just looking around, see what others are doing, see what they're saying, see if they agree with us, see if we're just like them, see if they call us by the right name and recognize there's some differences in our life. Or in truth, are we people that have truly surrendered, submitted, yielded to you, repented of our sin and looked to you as our Savior and found that peace that passes understanding, that joy, that love of God, the riches of your grace? I pray in Jesus' name this morning, we sing this little song of invitation. I pray the Spirit of God would move in the lives of those troubled souls that are here. Those that are saying to themselves, I've never heard that voice speak to me. I've never had that witness that just quieted my soul, my anxious soul, just quieted it down with a word from God saying, forgive it. Never heard that. Don't know what the preacher's talking about. That sweet voice from heaven, that it doesn't matter what anybody says or thinks, I've got the witness on the inside. I know whom I am believed. I know. It's settled, it's done. I'm his and he's mine. As Fanny Crosby wrote, blessed assurance, Jesus is by. I pray, Lord, as we take this moment, consider our ways, that, Lord, each one would examine their heart. Those that are not ready, I pray, would come. I pray they'd turn from their sin, turn from their self. Turn to you with a repenting heart. Call upon you. In Jesus' name we pray.